Hi, I'm Otto. Welcome to Erin Sarah's podcast.
Hi guys, we have an unintentional special guest today, Jamie Mizrahi. She had a sleepover at my house last night, and she's
internet without.
I love that we're sleep home alone.
We're living in a time where it's like if we don't have internet, we cannot survive. So she had to find internet.
Yeah, I couldn't watch Anatomy of a Scandal without.
Oh, is that what you're
internet.
Watching?
Yeah.
What episode are you on?
4. It's phenomenal.
It's Monday, and I've been burning the candle at both ends.
Been raging.
Yeah, I've been going out a lot and I'm not, I drank. I've been drinking.
Well, big admission here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just Same. A little bit. And then it's really hard for me to pull myself together the next day. It's very hard.
It looks like it was hard for you.
Why? By just looking at me?
Yeah.
How many sips did you have last night?
It's not that bad, is it? There's not even a filter on this,
is
there?
Why is the bun on the side?
Oh, it's all about the skin, babe. It's all about the skin.
Oh, what are you using?
I'm using so many things right now. I'm using...
No, boring.
Oh.
Move on.
Okay.
I don't need your skin
no
routine.
Asking you what you're using.
I'll text you about what I'm using.
Great.
Anyways, it's Monday. Okay. We haven't recorded a solo episode. People are still loving the breakup episode.
Breakup episode's really
what
good.
What happened on the breakup episode? I didn't listen.
So we have been... There are just so many people that write into us at different phases in their lives. And Erin and I talk a lot about...
I feel like we can let Jamie go now.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to go get lunch for my kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye. What a bitch.
So, well, it's crazy what you just did. Like, I walked in not knowing she was there, and I could have walked in talking shit about her. You never know what with me. The things that I always come in with a theory about someone mm-hmm. or
well,
like-
Well, it's scary because Jamie-
Hid in the bathroom Jamie, to see if I was going to say something about her.
She heard that you came in the house. And she goes, I'm going to hide. Let's surprise her. I was like, okay. And then you walked in. You go, you know who was so weird with me last night? And I was like, oh, God, this is about to get really
but
bad.
But instead of Erin saying, Jamie's here, because it could have easily been, Jamie was so fucking weird last night. Could have easily been that.
But you didn't.
But I didn't.
Well, I tried to help you because you walked in and you said, you know who was so weird last night? And I go, Jamie, in a joking way. So you would be like, no. And you said no. And then she popped out and everything was okay.
Luckily, Jamie was not
Luckily,
the person.
Luckily, you were talking shit about somebody else.
Yeah. Luckily, Jamie was not the person that I chose to go after this morning. But I always come in here with like a hot take.
Yeah, you came in at an 11. Not a 12,
not
but an
a
11.
12, an 11.
But yes, we were both out last night. We went to a birthday party, Jen Meyer's birthday party.
And I was at a birthday before that. I'm not good with a 2 in a rower, and it's going to be a 3 in a rower because I have another – April's big for birthdays.
A lot of birthdays. And you told me last night that I was being really weird.
Well
– I felt it.
You were very off-putting last night. There was something about your energy. You were just – you know when you like have to – read like I don't like reading between the lines. Like I'm sitting there, I'm going, are you mad at me about something? Did something happen? Because you never know with you.
That's true. You never know. But I was only being weird internally. I just, you know what? Last night I had a hard time socializing. Like I had a hard time making small talk. I just felt kind of like jumpy or something.
You sound like me.
Yeah, I don't know. I just couldn't relax last night. I don't know what
That's
it was.
That's normally me. I hate social situations. I'm always like.
Usually I'm more comfortable.
Usually you are way more. I usually go inward and you go outward. And last night you were inward and I was outward.
But it was nothing to do with you or anybody else. I was not harboring anything other than just feeling socially awkward. That's all.
I wonder if that's like, I don't know. I guess I've always been socially awkward. But anyway, okay, back to the breakup episode. People are having it's doing what I wanted it to do, which is I wanted this to be an episode where people were sending it to their friends, where people were going like, oh my God, Jane, like you have to listen to this episode. It's going to help you with the place that you are in right now. And I'm seeing a lot of messages from girls saying like, I said this to all my friends going through breakups, my this and that. And it makes me so happy.
Mm-hmm, me too.
Because she was amazing, Amy. She was amazing. And you guys, I think her breakup, if I had had her breakup boot camp – when I was in my 20s.
Could have changed your life.
No, but I'm serious. Like I
was being serious.
Yeah. I mean,
being
I think
serious.
That
it could have changed your life. Our breakups defined us, and that's so embarrassing.
Did you say our breakups define us?
Defined us.
Oh, defined us.
You know, like we were we were the roadmap to our 20s into our 30s was really defined by breakups.
Yeah, I'm always jealous by girls who figure out at such a young age, like, okay, if it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be, and you strap up the roots.
Or just who aren't focusing so heavily on relationships and more focusing about
on themselves.
Themselves, their friends, their work, their life in general.
So many great takeaways from that episode if you haven't listened to it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, is this episode going to be a recap of another episode, or we're going to talk about other things?
No, but there won't be an episode that airs in between, correct? It'll go from the breakup to this.
Right, okay.
So that's actually, I don't know why you're correcting me. It's brilliant what I'm doing.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah, this is like brilliant.
Because you're going to get more listeners for the breakup episode if they didn't listen to it already.
Not only that, but just, you know, we're on a flow here.
We are?
Yeah, a lot of the people that listen to this podcast, they listen to every episode.
That's very cool.
I know.
I love when people do that.
I just want to also say.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much, because I love it when you stop me on the street or wherever.
Oh, yeah, what were you saying earlier?
Podcast.
That someone cried to you, shaking?
Yes, a woman. I met a woman over the weekend. She was walking towards me. I was in the Palisades Village going to check out a space for a favorite daughter. And she was walking towards me. And you can usually get the feeling when someone's about to talk to you. You know, it's like...
It's embarrassing when you get the feeling and they walk past you and they're looking to talk to somebody else.
Right, that does happen a lot also. But she was so lovely and I really liked her energy. And she stopped me and she was like, I just have to tell you. And she started like getting emotional. She was like, the podcast has changed my life. I have turned over new leaves. I've let things go. I've leaned more into this. I mean, I don't want to get too specific because like maybe she's listening. Well, she is listening because she loves the podcast and I don't, you know. But she was like very moved by seeing me because of what the podcast has done for her.
That's amazing. Did she mention me?
She did not mention you, but obviously you're part of the podcast.
Yeah, so, I think she knows I'm part of it.
I think
for sure.
She probably knows I have a co-host. She probably knows I have a co-host.
I think she probably knows I'm part of the podcast. Yeah.
Exactly. So
that's
I just
wonderful.
Loved it. Anyways, if you ever do see us, listen, we wonder all the time. We're like, do people care? Is this doing anything? How many people are listening?
Basically, you're saying stop us and compliment us.
No, but I'm just saying a lot of the times people are like, sorry, I don't want to bother you or I don't want to blah, blah, blah. But we love feedback on the podcast. I mean, don't stop me to diss me, but if it's a compliment.
Also, if you see me with my in-laws, please stop me. Please stop me.
Why?
Because it makes me seem cool to them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So if you see me in front of them, like definitely stop me and say how inspiring I am and how what all the things I've done for the Jewish people.
No matter what you do, it's just you're really struggling to get acceptance by them.
I think I have.
I feel full acceptance by them. Like they light up like Christmas trees when they see me. When they
well,
FaceTime
not like
me.
Christmas trees, like menorahs.
They light up like a menorah.
They light up like a menorah for you. Well, because
but you're still questioning.
Well, there's no pressure for you for them. You know what I mean? You could be a loose cannon. It doesn't change anything for them. But for me, well, first of all, they've accepted me, and I think they really like me. But I think I just have an inferiority complex there. And I always feel like I need to.
I think that's common with in-laws.
Better.
I think that's common with in-laws. And I even see it with guys who are like obsessed to have acceptance by like the father-in-law or whatever. And it's just all around. This is normal. Like you just want, because I think you know how much their opinion matters to Simon.
Yes. The truth is, I think it's more of a Simon thing. Like,
Or is this your ego?
No, it's not ego.
Your ego's a little out of control lately.
What? How is my ego out of control?
I don't know. You're just like an egomaniac.
Please, can we dive into this? I'm confused. Explain this to me.
I don't feel like going into specifics.
No, I really want to know what you mean. Please tell me. Because I don't see myself that way.
I'll just never forget once you looked at me and you were like, we were saying something and you looked at me and you're like, oh, really? I am a 10. Okay.
No, I didn't say I'm
a
10.
You go, I am a 10. I go, I'm sorry, you can't refer to yourself as a 10. Like,
no.
That's totally.
You're taking this out of context.
You cannot do that. I've never referred to myself as a 10.
You're taking this out of context.
And I was a 10 for all my 20s.
You're taking this out of context. You and I were in a massive argument, like a crazy screaming fight, saying crazy shit to each other. And you're just like pulling out one random thing out of it.
Because, like, how can you forget that?
Well, I didn't say I'm a 10.
What'd you say?
I think I said I could be with anybody I want.
Okay. Is that exactly what you said. You literally, I can have whoever, I could be with whoever. I am a 10.
I definitely and don't say I'm a 10. Like,
well, you did in that moment. You might have.
I don't use that language. Well, you but did. You're pulling it out of a, I think it's okay. It's out, very out of context. Very out of context.
Listen, put it in any context you want. You referred to yourself as a 10. So it doesn't matter.
I don't say.
Okay,
I
well,
don't,
you did.
All right. Well, either way, I stand by it. Either way, I stand by it. And
you're a 10 in San Francisco for sure.
Sarah, like, you're going to lose all of San Francisco from saying
no, because it's a joke. Someone was like, remember when someone was like, oh, yeah, you'd kill in San Francisco.
Listen, San Francisco has a reputation for having better looking guys than they do girls.
Even though it's like we said, I was shocked when we went to that event in San Francisco. I was shocked. Everybody was good looking.
Yeah, and successful.
And so put together and dressed so nice. And anyways, we're getting so off track.
We're getting off track. So where were we going? You were saying I'm an egomaniac, which is surprising.
I just don't know if people, like, I just think you should represent yourself true to who you are. No, and that is you are an
Here's what I think it is. I am not an egomaniac, but I'm not.
Like, I'm insecure. Over, yeah, and you're not.
Yeah, but that's different than being an egomaniac. I just am not consumed with insecurity. Like, I don't stress every day about what I look like. Even when I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, don't look great today. It doesn't really like change how I feel in general about myself. I just am not like plagued by insecurity, but I'm not an egomaniac.
I think a lot of that though has to do with the stability of your relationship. I think when you're in a relationship with somebody where you feel completely safe with them, completely uninhibited, completely who you are, it's not about how you look. It's like, it's, who cares about so many other things. So when you feel so safe in that relationship, that helps you because you did used to be more concerned with like how you looked and
Well, because when you're single, I think you're always worried about is someone going to think I'm this enough or that enough. But literally last night I got dressed and Simon was like, "You look cute," and I said, "I hate my body." That's what I said. I hate my body. I feel so like embarrassed to wear this. So I guess I am insecure. I was like, "I hate my body."
Yeah, Jesus, you're looking and saying I hate my
body. No, but it wasn't
body.
Like I just kind of accepted it. I was just like, "Oh, I don't know. I just felt maybe I'm on my period." I was just like, I hate my body. And he was like, but that's so crazy. I tell you every day how obsessed I am with your body and how perfect your body is. And I was like, yeah, that's true. All right. I'll just believe you instead of believing me. And I left the house in the outfit and I just didn't really think about
it again. Well, you hate your midsection.
Yeah.
You just have a thing. You just have a love-hate relationship with your midsection.
Yeah.
Which is so crazy because, but it's just your thing.
Yeah, that's my thing.
It's just your thing.
But I've accepted it.
You know what though?
Actually, I haven't accepted it. I tend to like look in the mirror and like cover the sides of my waist and wonder what would life be like that with I have 3 inches.
What do you think you need to do to like, I don't know, who's to tell you to get over it? It's just your thing. And
but it doesn't, I mean, okay. I'm saying I had a moment last night of saying that, but it didn't consume me, I guess.
In our mind though.
But I'm not like, an egomaniac just because I'm not like very, very insecure, right? I mean, isn't that the goal? I feel like as women, we always feel like we have to lead with insecurity to be likable, but I think it's okay to feel good about yourself.
I don't think so. No one thinks leading with insecurity is the way you and I have tapped into this like self-deprecating thing, which
that's
I think
never who you've been.
We
whenever
take
you say
too
that,
far.
That's not really your natural
state. I just said we have leaned into, well, it is now. I think it is now because I think I was never like that for my teens and early 20s. And I think I've had like major realizations in life. I think I've been knocked down. I think I've been put in my place. I think I've
You also
like,
just sort of like copied me because I was self-deprecating.
You can't copy that though. It's just truly like.
But I was always self-deprecating. I was always self-deprecating.
Here's what I've learned. You have like all these like ideas about who you were as a kid. And I'm like, wait, what? But like, I talked to mom about it recently and I was like, wait, mom, da 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 da. And she's like, yeah, no, I don't remember it like that, but like, that's okay. Like that's how you remember it. And then that's how I remember it. And it's not like we're ever going to get to the bottom of it. Cause it's just like our own truth.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you're going to find anyone who didn't think I was self-deprecating my whole life, but I hear what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
we talk about this all the time.
We
you
talk
and I have
about we had different,
totally different childhoods. Calm. Popping popcorn with a pickle jar.
Okay. listen, life is crazy. I think we are all like getting to.
Didn't you like my MSR?
The place. Someone told me that my voice is.
So you're just breathing right past my
someone
AMSR.
Someone told me that my voice is the opposite of ASMR. So that's not a compliment, right?
That is not a compliment. that is like, it's yeah. basically saying that your nails on a chalkboard.
Okay.
On the other hand, I'm auditioning for Calm right now.
If you're listening to this podcast, then you know that we talk a lot about mental health and manifesting.
Don't you
and
think they listen to
their energy?
Don't you think they listen if they're listening right now?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So then you are up to speed in that.
Here's the point. Sleep is really important. Yeah. Okay. Calm is really important.
Mental health is very important.
Yes. And that is why we are talking to you about Calm, because it is helping reduce stress and anxiety through guided meditations. It helps you improve focus. It has very amazing curated music tracks. And it has rest and recharge imaginative sleep stories for kids.
It's adults. Amazing
you,
for kids.
You forget how kids actually need like really good wind down as well.
It's, yeah.
So they have new daily movement sessions designed to relax your body and uplift your mind. Love Calm. Love, 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 love.
No, it's just Calm should just be a part of your ritual, whether it's in your morning, night, a little break from work, step away from work, walk away from the desk. I need 10 minutes. Guess what? We live in a time now where you're allowed to ask for a mental health break. Go take your 20 minutes.
Sit in your car.
10 minutes.
Do a little Calm meditation.
And it can truly change the trajectory of your day.
Yeah. There have been times where I'm like, I am in such a foul mood. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to get out of this. And I'm about to go into work and I need to like pull my shit together.
Oh, yeah.
And I've gone into one and I've pulled up a Calm meditation just to snap me out of it.
And like it literally snaps you
shift
out of it.
My focus.
Yeah. It works.
So we are partnering with Calm, the number one mental wellness app, to give you the tools that improve the way that you feel. If you go to calm.com/foster, you will get a special offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription. That's a very good deal. New content is added every week. Over 100 million people around the world use Calm to take care of their minds. Calm is ready to help you stress less, sleep more, and live happier. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/foster. Go to calm.com/foster for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. calm.com/foster.
I'm so excited to talk about Aura Frames. I'm not even going to look at the paper. Let me just break this down for you.
Okay.
So I got two of them because this is what we do with our ads. We try the product. If we haven't tried the product, we try the product. And then we decide, do we want to talk to our audience about this or don't we? Mm-hmm. So I got two of these sent to me. It's so amazing. I put one in each of the kids' rooms. They're basically like digital photo albums. So I can, from where I am, like let's say I'm on a work trip, right? I can upload like a photo and be like, I just landed, and it'll show up on mm-hmm. the digital frame in the girls' rooms. They feel more connected to me. I feel more connected to them. It's like a fun thing to do with each other. And then it's like a slideshow in their room, and it's the coolest freaking thing. It's the greatest gift. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing Mother's Day gift. It's an amazing Mother's Day gift.
Okay. We sent one of ours to Simon's grandparents, and
so
we upload pictures of all like the kids and stuff. And they, all they do all day long is stare at the picture frame.
I know.
And wait for new pictures to
come in. I know.
They're
kids
obsessed
too.
With it.
It's just so cool. And I don't know. It's like, it's just.
Have you even mentioned what it's called? It's called Aura Frames.
Oh, I don't know. I got so excited to just talk about it.
Yeah,
that
I don't think you mentioned Aura Frames.
It is the perfect Mother's Day gift. If you're listening to this,
they've been featured in more than 130 gift guides. They were also selected as Oprah's favorite things for 3 years in a row.
Okay, so we're not discovering this company.
No, you always think you discover things.
Yeah.
No, it was Wirecutter's number one pick for digital picture frames.
No, it is, and it's very high tech. Like in the app, there's so many different
but it's
cool
very
features.
Easy to set up.
Oh, it's so easy. It's like even I could figure it out.
It really is a great Mother's Day gift.
Do we have a discount?
Yeah, we do. We do, we do, we do, we do, we do. From now until Mother's Day, listeners can save on the perfect gift and get up to $40 off while supplies last by visiting auraframes.com/foster. That is A-U-R-A, frames.com/foster. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you think that Aaron and I did a session with Dan, and we... In my mind, I was like, are we going to, should we not film this. We don't film things. But anyways, doesn't matter. We did a one-on-one session with Dan, who we had on the podcast. He is a life coach.
Dan Tocchini.
Yeah.
Executive coach.
He's an executive coach, a life coach. He helps you work out conflict in the workplace, in your relationship, so that you can achieve, you know, so you can operate on the highest level.
We had a session with him.
We had a session with him, and he was fantastic.
He was great.
He really, I think, like—
Do you want to share what happened for you in the session?
I will, but like what specifically?
Just that you cried. Like it was emotional.
Yeah, it was emotional. It was emotional towards the end.
He dug
deep. Really got me there.
Yeah.
Like at first I was like, okay, this is not emotional. I'm like—
You were it was funny because at first for a while you like fully checked out. You were like looking at your phone while it was happening. And it was on a video chat and I became anxious that like, he's literally like trying to give us a session.
Wait, I wasn't looking at my phone.
You were like texting on your phone. And I was like—
How do you know that?
I wanted to say something. Because I could tell. And I wanted to say something, but I was like, you know what?
You're like, I'm not going
to. It's his session. He could say to her, Sarah, we're having a conversation. What's going up? He didn't call you out.
Right. The old you would have sent me a side text being like, get the fuck off your phone.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
Because I was like, you know what? I'm going to let her be herself and let him see her for who she is. You know, don't like control it.
Oh, right. So you were actually kind of like manipulating because you were like, he wanted him to be like, I mean, look at this partnership. She's on her.
Yes.
You were trying to like lead the witness.
But that's not, no, there's no leading. I mean, you were just doing it and I was just letting you do it instead of, you know, jumping in and saying to you, like, get off your phone.
You're a monster.
Oh, really?
No, I don't know. Okay, keep going.
But he didn't call you out on it.
Mm-mm.
And then, but I really could tell that was you, you know, your walls were up. You were like my on wall, text.
Yo, listen, my walls are always up. My walls are up in every conversation, in every circumstance, in every,
but when
my
you're
walls
vulnerable,
are
you,
up.
But you always feel so much better when you're vulnerable, don't you?
Yeah, but like, I
then you
guess,
got emotional.
Well, listen, I guess when I'm vulnerable, then I'm like, I spiral because I'm like, oh God, this is so embarrassing. I'm so weak. Nobody wants to cry.
No, that's not true. You and I have a very weird relationship with
I'll never
with
forget
crying.
An acting teacher said to me once, I was like in an acting class and I was like trying so hard to cry.
I'm just and picturing that, an acting class be like, oh.
I was like, oh. And the acting teacher was like, just stop. Come over here for a second. I was like, okay, yeah. And I was like, no, like, look at my eye. It's a little glassy. If you look close, I am a good actress. If you look really closely, my eyes are a little moist.
A little watery.
And he was like, Sarah, in real life, nobody sits there in real emotion trying to cry.
They're trying not to.
That is a real moment. Yeah. Like good actors
convey
that they are trying not to cry. And that's the thing. Nobody is intentionally trying to cry. So anyways, I did cry in the session. And because I think for me, like I spend so much time holding it in that of course you're going to freaking lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even remember what it was. I'm sure something about our childhood.
No, I remember what it was. Is that?
Oh, of course you do. You took notes?
I did take notes, actually. We had a coaching
session.
With
that freaking notebook you have?
Yeah.
You walk around that big notebook?
What happened was he said, like, I was complaining about you, saying, Sarah does this and this. And then he said to you, because Sarah, you're very, very sensitive, actually. You know, you portray this hard exterior, mm-hmm. but Sarah's actually a very sensitive person. Once he saw your, like, softness, it broke you down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you cry because you're like, I am soft. I am sensitive.
Yeah, but I am sensitive.
You don't want to be seen as like the monster you are, you know?
Yeah. But I also...
there's a little baby bird in that monster.
I also think like we have to learn that... And it's not even just with our relationship, but in general, it's like we... Sometimes our issues with other people are not for them to have to carry. Like they are for us to carry and not the other person.
What do you mean?
Like how he, like you have, I think, more issues with me than I have with you. And he was like, yeah, but Erin, she shouldn't have to carry that. Like that's not fair. Like it's not fair to her. I'm not conveying this correctly.
I don't remember him giving me the responsibility to carry the weight of you.
No, but I'm just saying sometimes when we have resentment or issues with other people, we want them to carry it, but when really it's our stuff that we need to carry alone to work through.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
I don't know. That was like eye-opening to me. And in general, like for me, like issues that I put on other people, I'm like, wait, that shouldn't actually be for them to have to carry. I need to deal with that. That's not there. That shouldn't be on them. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't put that on them. I need to work through it. I don't feel that way towards you, but other people.
Right. Okay. So you want me to carry the weight of our issues that are yours and me to carry
my
the weight.
My issues with you aren't as deep as your issues
and me to carry the weight of our issues that are mine.
Yeah, but my issues with you are not as deep as your issues with me. They're just not.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't have deep-seated resentment towards you. Well, or
I've never really done anything that bad to you. I've been a pretty good sister.
Well, that's not... I mean, you've betrayed me many times.
Betrayed you.
Remember when you went to Vegas with my ex's former current girlfriend?
Yes.
That was the ultimate betrayal. No, you don't understand.
I didn't know that bothered you.
I was in love with this guy. He, like, you know, we had like a on and off, like, sort of situation with each other. And
you had broken up like 5 years before this happened.
It doesn't matter. You should not be on a trip with the current girlfriend. It's just so fucked up.
But you and I didn't have a relationship at that point. So you never even talked to me about the relationship.
You cannot say that. You have to stop saying we didn't have a relationship. That is just like...
I'm just telling you that I remember during that time.
It's so insane that
you never confided in me about how you felt about the relationship.
You knew how I felt. And it was like the ultimate betrayal. Oh, and this was the kicker. I was like, maybe I do have resentments towards you.
And then... and I said they're a cute couple or something.
This is the... No, I'll never forget this. And I don't remember anything, but I remember this. And I was like, well, okay, like, so, like, what happened when you, like, brought me up? And you were like, I didn't bring you up. Oh. And I was like, okay, what did you just say? You were just on a trip with this fucking girl, and you don't bring me up? And she's like, you were like, no, I mean, that would be so awkward. I'm like, oh, my God, you are the worst. Like, you're a horrible sister. You're, like, a horrible sister. This was... What? Like, out of, like, loyalty to her and her little delicate feelings, you're not going to bring your blood up?
Yeah, I don't want her to be uncomfortable.
You were like, I didn't want... Yeah, you're like, why would I do that? It would, like, ruin the trip. I'm like, okay, this is crazy. And then I think I didn't speak to you for a few weeks. And then I clocked it, put it in the back, and...
Brought it back up today.
It's back up here today.
Well, I remember that time, and I remember feeling like you would never confide in me about that relationship or confide in me about how you actually felt or like talk to me because you and I didn't, we're not that close at that time. And then
I mean, to be fair, I don't even know if he knew how I felt.
Yeah, like you weren't confiding in me. So I didn't really know where your head was at. But then when I was invited on this trip that she was on, it was like you were mad at me. Like I was already supposed to know what I was supposed to do, but I didn't even have the inside information about how you felt or what your feelings were around it. I didn't know
whatever.
If I was supposed to make it seem
really
like you were
up.
Cool.
It was really fucked up. Well, that was exactly, but you didn't even mention me.
Well, I remember one time I mentioned your name and it got awkward, so I didn't do it again. I think I said something like, oh, it was a Sarah. And then she like got stiff and I was like, never gonna do that again. Don't want to rock the boat on this friendship.
Oh, my, right. You're like trying to befriend her. Oh my, you're a sicko.
I remember on that all trip right. House, she asked me how I'm so skinny that she's jealous. And I was like, great compliment. Loved it.
Wow. Right, because she was a model. okay.
Anyway, so, well, Sarah, I'm so sorry about that.
It's fine. I'll forgive you.
If it makes you feel any better, she and I don't have a friendship now. We've not maintained one.
Right, you tried to have one.
No, I didn't try.
Okay.
No, I did not try. She wasn't someone I was trying to be friends with.
Okay.
We just had a mutual friend in common. It wasn't like I invited her on some trip.
I'm just saying, the lines crossed. And I think in sisterhood, the lines should be a little more clear.
Right, but we did go to a Spice Girls concert together, which does bond you.
You did?
Yeah, we did.
Before the trip, or after the trip?
We all had Spice names.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember hers was, but mine was Square Spice. Okay. I did not name myself. Okay. I was named.
Do you think anyone's still listening to the episode at this point?
No, but like I've said before.
Is anyone still with us?
Even if they click off after 10 minutes, we still get the streams. You know what I mean?
Okay. Should we break down Bridgerton season 2 at any point?
No, I don't think so. But you should put
you
that
guys
on your.
Both shaking your head. It's but like, how dare you? It's like the greatest cinematic television
Sarah,
of all time.
Sarah, put it on your equestrian podcast. I keep telling you to do that.
Okay. The truth is, I have so many fun things to talk about on my. I need my own podcast.
You really do.
I can talk about beauty, equestrian life, horses, Bridgerton.
Are equestrian life, yeah.
What else would I talk about on my own podcast?
You love to.
Oh, crypto.
Oh, yeah.
Finance. Oh, yeah.
It's your crypto horse podcast.
All right. Write in if you'd like me to have my own offshoot. Crypto,
it would be, if you do, would you listen to Sarah's crypto equestrian podcast?
And more. Beauty.
And in competing with that, Simon and I are going to have a relationship podcast.
And I'll also cover relationships on my solo.
No, you won't. You can only talk about equestrian crypto.
Oh, you know what? I'll be doing a lot of manifesting.
A lot of manifesting episodes. Oh, by the way, guess what? You'll appreciate this. Sophia asked me if tomorrow night I want to do a manifestation night where we're going to create vision boards and bring magazines. And I said yes.
Feels like she got that idea from the podcast.
I don't think she listened.
Jen and I.
She actually said she hated that episode.
And Jen Mazer. Feels like Sophia listened to the podcast.
No. She said was a bit of a...
Wait.
A bit of a down
you
episode.
You guys, the manifesting messages that I have gotten...
Put this on your equestrian podcast.
Sorry, Kim Kardashian's just messaging me. Give me a second.
Oh, what's she saying?
I wrote her and I said, I'm so tired of, like, I can never get the skim stuff I want. It's impossible. It sells out so fast. Like, hint, hint. Like,
hook me up.
Help, help. And
what'd she say? She said, go to skims.com.
Yeah.
She's like, it's Skims with two M's.
I'm not at liberty to say exactly what she said, but I may or may not be getting a link 24 hours before they go live because all this like soft lounge stuff is going live. I think the Skims.
The rich get richer.
The Skims. Well, I'm not getting like a discount.
No, you're getting first access
no,
to
it's
things.
Just, it sells out so fast.
Yeah, that's how everybody else feels too.
That's
get
not
in
the
line.
Rich getting richer.
Yeah, it is. It's you having access to something that other people don't.
Oh, shut up, Aaron.
You know what? I'm canceling you.
I just, this. What do you call it? The pajamas are like the softest.
I've never owned pajamas a single ever. Skim thing. They've never sent me anything.
Well, they don't send me things.
Yeah, they do. That dress.
That's because I
asked for it.
I asked for it because it was sold out. I wanted it. So I just, you know, called up our former guest, Kris Jenner, and was like a damsel in distress. Oh my God. I really don't want this dress. It would be so pretty for this thing I have to go to. Sure enough, at my house. Like 2 hours later. Because listen, Kris Jenner gets shit done.
She does.
She gets shit done. All right. We talk a lot about women, right? We talk about what women need. They need their skincare. They need their supplements. They need their this. They need their that. We don't talk a lot about men. But why we're talking to you guys about Hawthorne is because it's a way for you to take part in your man's routine, mm-hmm. in your man's personal routine.
Simon always steals. He always steals my moisturizers. Yeah, because
men are clueless.
Sorry.
Like, I don't. I know you can't say anything anymore, but men are fucking clueless. They don't know how to take care of themselves.
He like uses body wash as face wash.
Exactly. It's Tommy. Until when I met him, he was using the 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. like literally. Like, I'm not even kidding. He was literally
2-in-1 is really funny.
I think it was a body wash, shampoo, and conditioner. It was a 3-in-1.
3-in-1? I don't even know if that exists.
When I met him. I mean, these guys are just, they're just completely
So this is a great
useless.
Way to help elevate the men in your life, to look and feel and smell their best. And it's the easiest way is to gift them with a routine. So it's a tailored specially to their needs. You go on and you basically take a quiz. You could take a quiz.
You take it for them.
You could take it for them if you want to. They could do it for themselves. If they are at that level.
You answer all these questions and at the end, you get to view your customized set. And they're tailored products for your man's body, skin, hair, and lifestyle. It's all the things that they need after the quiz you take for them. And just, you're going to help them get their shit together.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to elevate because guys like to have nice products. They just don't know how to get them. And we don't think about shopping for them.
Mm-mm.
So, Hawthorne also takes the risks out of giving gifts by giving you free shipping on your returns and your order. And so if your man does not like their products, Hawthorne will even retailer them based on their feedback, which is great.
Hawthorne is a premium grooming brand that is designed to create personal care routines for men that fit their unique profile. So it focuses on the skin and hair products plus cologne that works to address their, or let's be honest, more importantly, your biggest concerns.
Take Hawthorne's quiz today and get the men in your life started on their own new routine by going to hawthorne.co/gift and use the promo code Foster to get 10% off your first purchase. That is hawthorne.co/gift, hawthorne.co/gift, promo code Foster. Okay, Everlywell, we've done a bunch of ads for and they've been selling really well. People are really, really loving
them.
We're
just grateful. People don't realize.
They're very easy. They really work. There's basically what they are. There's a ton of different home tests to choose from. And you can choose food sensitivity. You can choose men's health. You can use you can do hormones, metabolism, sleep and stress, thyroid. It's an at-home test. You just, it's a little finger prick and you do a couple blood drops on there. You send it away and it gives you all this interesting information about your health, and you can specify exactly, specifically what you're looking for. And it's really great. I use them. You use them. Simon used it. People love them. It's a really good deal. They're really affordable. And
it's just so great that science is getting to a place where we really just don't have to leave our home. There's just so many ways that you can take tests and receive like important information without ever having to leave your house.
Yeah. So if you're feeling like I'm a little fatigued or I feel a little off or I feel like I need to do some little tests instead of going and spending thousands of dollars getting your blood drawn.
Well, by the way, just even getting an appointment is a nightmare.
Exactly. Just get an Everly Well at-home test. It ships your at-home lab test straight to you with everything that you need for a simple sample collection. And using the prepaid shipping label, you mail your test back to a certified lab. And in just days, your physical reviewed results and actionable insights are sent to your device. And you can share your results with your primary care physician to help you figure out what to do next.
Did you say you could test your thyroid?
I did.
Okay.
So for our listeners of the show, Everly Well is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home test at everlywell.com/foster. That is everlywell.com/foster for 20% off your at-home lab test. Everlywell.com/foster.
Do you ever do this thing where you convince yourself that someone's mad at you and then you spiral over like, oh my God, like what did I do? Did I say something? Like there's someone that's been like really cold and rude to me.
Is this the person you mentioned?
Yes. The last few times I've seen him, he's been like weird and
cold. Should we call him on the pod?
No. Because we're not like close enough like that. Mm. But I'm like, I'm sorry. Like I don't do anything. Like I'm not a nasty person. I don't like, but shut up, Aaron.
Oh.
But you know that, so, and then you're like, I'm sure it's nothing, but you're like, wait, you're like retracing the steps. You're like,
yeah, that's a terrible feeling.
We talked about this before. It's scary times because I could literally say to you right now, did you hear, do you know what Jamie was saying about you the other day? It was crazy. She was literally saying like, you're the fucking worst. Mm. And like, you'd believe me.
Of course.
And I could just fully
I would change my relationship with Jamie forever.
And I'd be like, but you cannot say anything.
Right. And I would never say anything.
And you would never say anything.
And then I would just phase her out of my life.
Deep down, you would just be a little bit like, God damn, like what a bummer. I mean, Jamie's a bad example because that's your best friend. But like, I'm just saying, it's so easy.
But you can form a wedge between two people very easily.
Oh, very easily.
Yeah, it is scary.
It's really scary that's possible because, you know, the whole like, but you can't say anything. Then you don't say you usually don't say anything,
mm-hmm.
but then you just internalize your hatred towards that person.
Oh yeah,
and
you could even just be more subtle with somebody if you want to be manipulative. You could just be like, "No, I just sometimes don't like the way they talk about you, but it's not a big deal.
Right. It's not a big deal. Don't worry about it.
I just don't love the way that she mentions you, but I'm sure she's just like it's not a real thing.
How do you get
and then
ahead
that
of the wet?
Is dead to you?
Yeah, it's really. I can't imagine how many relationships of mine have been stifled by like a fake wedge. Probably a lot.
But why so many? Why so many?
I don't know. Maybe not so many, but like a handful probably. People are just, I don't know if it's people in general, but like I feel like there's a lot of shadiness around us.
A lot of shadiness around us. I think that we...
Not like in our inner circle, but just like in the world we live in.
It's just a very competitive circle. And LA is not really known for having, you know, the best, the most like integrity.
I wish I could afford to move to like Montecito or something. It's just so expensive. But I do have all these, I do have fantasies about like, oh, I just want to get the fuck out of here. I just want to get out of here. I just want my kids to go to live somewhere where there's a great public school where they can walk there, where I could like be close to a horse potentially.
But you would never regret doing that. I think it'd be so good for your soul.
Where would I go? Montecito's legit too expensive. It's crazy. It used to be
Montecito's
like,
also like very, still very like rich and fancy. It's not really giving your kids like the
where do you
real.
Want, where are you, where do you want me to go?
Somewhere a little further. No, I'm
Vera's
just
like, honestly, you live your best life in Europe. That is
you
where,
actually do.
That is like, that is do. What you should be thinking.
I mean,
about.
The way you talk about your horse in Germany, it's like, I've never heard you talk about anything like that.
Yeah.
But you could split your time a little bit differently. I mean, Tommy would be very down to relocate out of LA. He doesn't even
like
LA.
Am I a Florida person?
Like, can you really see me living in Florida?
It's I mean, so you hot. Hate paying taxes.
True.
So in that way you are.
That's the only Cayman Islands. Elizabeth Chambers looks like she's having a great life in the Cayman Islands.
Is that where she lives?
Yeah, she moved there in the pandemic. And her life on Instagram, she's public, so you can follow her, is like, it makes the Cayman Islands look really amazing.
Well, I'm pretty sure the Cayman Islands are amazing.
Okay, if you could live anywhere in the world, if you had to, if like there was a gun to your head, it was mm-hmm. like, you have to move next week. Where are you going?
New York.
Besides New York.
Why is that on the list?
I don't know. It's just, that's like, duh, like New York. That's where I'd go to if there was a gun to my head.
But oh, okay.
Actually, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be happy in New York. I feel like in New York, I feel like all the buildings are like coming down on me.
Right. Then I guess I would want to live in Europe. I think it's a good life over there.
Where in Europe? Be specific.
I almost just said London, but I don't know if it's London.
I mean, you can't afford it, but.
Right, that's true. London, somewhere in England. I don't know. I would love to have the same life you're talking about.
Everything is so expensive. I don't understand. How is the cost of living just going up, 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 but everyone's making the same amount of money? Interest rates are up. Like, a freaking bottle of water at the airport the other day was $7 at the airport. $7 for a little teeny little water bottle. I'm like, I'm sorry. How are people... Like, I'm not trying to be on, like, some complaint. I'm not going to be like, oh, gas prices. I'm not going to do that. But I need to actually understand. Explain to me how people are even buying houses right now.
I mean, a lot of people can't buy houses right now.
Yeah, but a lot of people are buying houses. I'm like, who are you that you can
just buy? Well, interest rates have been really low. And so people are getting mortgages that are
Yeah, but interest rates
affordable.
Aren't low anymore. They're up.
But they're still low.
Interest rates have been low. They're not low anymore.
I got that early. I got that low interest rate on our mortgage. Yeah,
well, what are interest rates right now, considering you have good credit?
I think it's like 3.5, which is still low.
It used to be, if you had good credit, you could lock in like a 2.5, 3.5.
I think it's
3.5. That's if you have really good credit. Money has been, that's why everyone's been living above their means, because money's been so cheap.
I have great credit.
I saw this article that this kid wrote the other day. He's like, I grew up, you know, in this cute neighborhood. I lived in a house that my parents bought for $100,000. I always felt like I don't have like huge dreams. I just want to be able to buy like a nice 3-bedroom house in the area I grew up in. And he's like, I couldn't even get like a, I'm out of college. I couldn't even get like a 2-bedroom with like 4 roommates. It's so expensive. Like, how are people supposed to... Is this just sort of like the natural evolution that every generation goes through, or is this exceptionally crazy?
I don't know. I'm not an economist. I can't help you here.
Well, we should have an economist on the podcast, because I have a lot of questions. I'm furious.
Okay.
Like, I could sell my house, but then it's like, how do you even like upgrade? It's like too much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Erin's glazing over. She doesn't like to talk about anything other than herself. So let's
Sorry, you just lost me at like mortgages.
I know, but this is like we're recapping.
Well, you're just like sitting here trying to like work through like how to sell your house.
Yeah, I'd like a pool. I'd like to upgrade. But it's like so hard to upgrade given the like state of the world and inflation and just cost of living. It's just fucking nuts.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyways, I need to move. So we can talk about that another time. We can talk about where I'm gonna go or whose, you know, couch I'm gonna sleep on. Okay.
Well, you can stay at our new house.
Oh, that's so sweet. It's a little east for me, but.
I actually think you'd be happy over there. I know you don't.
No,
you wouldn't, but I think you actually would.
I don't like the east side.
But all the stuff you're talking about not liking, all the like Beverly Hills, Hollywood shit, it doesn't exist over there.
No, I'd go to the valley before the east side.
It's very hot in the valley. I don't think
you could. I'd go to Hidden Hills and my kids would walk to Round Meadow where I went.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Hidden Hills is a joke now.
Right.
It used to be like, oh, go to Hidden Hills because it's more affordable and you get whatever. Now Hidden Hills is, you know, because of the Kardashians, it's like, I mean, the property value is insane.
Well, maybe ask Chris if hey, he can Chris. Have one of their houses.
Chris, can you just give me some money?
Or not even money, just one of the houses. They have a lot of houses in there.
They have a lot of houses in there.
I'm sure they have one for free.
Maybe that house that Kanye bought across from Kim I could buy.
But it seems like he's renovating it though, you know? It looked like a bit of a dump and he's going to turn it into something nice.
That would be fun. I'd love to live across the street from her.
Yeah, that'd be cool for you. You'd definitely get access to all that Skims early.
How do I get that house?
Well, Kanye owns it.
We don't need Kanye living across the street. That's a lot. Like, I need that. That house should be for me.
Ask Chris. Like you said, like she can get anything done, right?
Okay. Chris, if you're listening.
So are you, I don't think she's listening. Are you going to send her a text?
like saying what? Hey, what's up with the house that Kanye bought?
Does he still want it? Is he having second thoughts? I mean, it was probably an impulsive buy. Don't you think?
Wait, let's ask Not Skinny, Not Fat. She probably knows.
What knows what?
Like the deal with the house.
You think she knows what's happening with the house on the market?
I don't know. She knows everything. I love following her.
I know. She's a great follow.
I don't read the freaking Daily Mail. I don't read any of that. I don't need to because I have Not Skinny, Not Fat. It's the best way. You're in the know, so you're not at a dinner party going, oh my God.
It's how I know everything about pop culture.
It's how I know everything about pop culture.
Simon hears her voice from the other room and he goes, oh, you're watching your CNN.
Yeah.
Because it's like literally my news feed.
There is no other pop culture thing you need other than her site.
Yeah. It's like she's great.
Not
at
her
it.
Site, but like her site. Her feed.
So old.
Her feed.
Her feed. Her account. Tell you, zero LOLs today, huh? We're just like so tired.
I have a confession.
Oh.
It's really embarrassing.
Great.
I said to Valentina on the way to school, I was like, can you help me get better at TikTok?
No, you did not.
I asked my 11-year-old to
be your social media manager?
To be my social media manager. And it was a real low.
What did she say?
She didn't react well.
What did she say?
She shamed me. It was horrible. It was like, it was like a scene out of a movie where you're just like, you couldn't have scripted it better.
Okay, so give me her reaction.
She was just sort of like, God, Mom, I mean, really? God.
Like, that's sad?
Yeah. She was like, basically like, Mom, you shouldn't be on TikTok. It's not for you.
No.
Yeah.
How'd you take that?
I mean,
you're like, just this one TikTok that I want you to help me with.
Because I was like, ooh, wait, figure out how to do that, blah, blah, blah. And she did not handle it well. She was like, really shamed me and really put me in my place. And I will probably stay on TikTok, yeah, but I'll just need to ask someone else to help me.
Yeah, you're going to have to ask someone else. Maybe just block V so she can't see your account.
Because V is not on board with it. She's like, she said to me multiple times, Mom, it's just so sad. Yeah.
Oh, she really sees you.
But it's crazy. She doesn't hold back. She's just like, it's so sad, Mom. I'm like, Valentina, that's so rude. She's like, no, Mom. Like, it is. Like, it's sad. Like, you need to really take a hard look at yourself.
Her
heart breaks for like
you.
That.
But her heart breaks for you.
But her eyes say, like, do the work, Sarah.
Do the work.
Do the work. That's what she's saying to me with her eyes. She's looking at me with that sort of, like pity.
She's like, we should talk to Josh about this.
No, because she doesn't really know about Josh. But, like, it was a moment where she saw me and she didn't like what she saw.
Whoa. And by the way, we all know that feeling when we see our parents for who they really are. Instead of who we want them to be.
You know, an aspiring TikToker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's always going to remember that moment.
I know.
She's sad, in therapy, sad she'll look back. All right, let's get to questions. At that moment, that's when you fell from grace for her.
Okay. She loves it when people recognize me from 90210. She loves that.
Why is she more into that than the podcast?
Well, because her and her friends don't listen to the podcast, but her and her friends watch that show. So they're like very.
She also thinks it's very cool that I was in one scene of Gilmore Girls 15 years ago.
Oh, wait, we haven't talked about this. She is obsessed mm-hmm. with Gilmore Girls.
I know, it's so funny.
Can I be honest?
Not a great show.
I watched it because I never watched it. Actually, I don't even think I saw your episode.
Thanks.
But they talk so fast.
Yeah, that's part of their thing.
And it's like not good acting.
It's
like,
what Amy Sherman-Palladino's style is, the
writer.
Well,
no, it's not. Do they do that in Miss Maisel?
Yeah, it's her style is like a ton of dialogue and talking fast.
Well, she's fantastic. I think Marvelous Miss Maisel is like
honestly, Gilmore Girls, I was obsessed with Gilmore Girls when it was on.
I don't get it.
But it's not for you. It's just not for you.
No, it is not for me.
And it never was for you. It's just, I don't know how to explain it.
I just kept watching. I was like watching it going like, maybe I am a good actress. Like, I think I'm better than this.
You can't shit on them. What if they listen or something?
They're not listening.
This?
No, I mean, they're very talented. But not really in that show.
Oh, Sarah, that show is like their main.
But I don't get it. I don't get it.
I think it's just maybe very old. And so it's not translating.
It doesn't hold up.
And maybe it's not translating for you.
They just talk so fast.
Yeah, but that is, again, that's not their fault. I mean, that is the style of the show. They have crazy amounts of dialogue.
Yeah. I was like, you know, like I'm like a really good dramatic actress. like I was like rewatching these scenes.
Oh my God. I remember about 15 minutes ago when you told me I was an egomaniac.
Oh, sorry. No, but like I'm like a really good actress. It's weird.
That is weird.
I know. I need to start acting again.
What was the thing you saw yourself in that you were impressed with?
Just like multiple things.
I was where looking, were you watching though?
I was like watching like my reel.
Is this real? It's you were crazy. Watching your own reel?
Yeah, where it's like highlights of all your best work. And honestly,
you loved it.
I have to, like, I'm like really surprised that I wasn't a bigger actress. No, I'm serious. I'm like really good. I don't know why you're laughing.
I like this confident side of you, Sarah.
No, I'm not confident at all in so many things, but I am a very talented actress.
Wow.
I know.
Well, maybe you should start auditioning again.
I think I, or offering, just getting.
Just straight offers.
Straight offers.
Well, I don't think you can ask.
What would be like a good role for me that I missed out on?
Well, yeah, what kind of role would you want to be playing? Because remember you auditioned for.
Oh my God.
Wait, what's the.
Wait a minute, you're going to die. Okay, I was on.
Yellowstone. I was just going to do the daughter in Yellowstone.
Yeah, but I was on Shopify. And I don't know if this is like you're allowed to talk about what because it is private. I saw Kelly Riley. It has to be Kelly Riley because
Who's
the Kelly dress Riley? Said Montana. Hello,
Who's Kelly Riley.
She is the sister in Yellowstone.
No,
the daughter.
The She Bought favorite daughter.
Yes, she was. I saw Kelly. I saw a Kelly Riley on the Shopify address Montana.
Whoa!
And I died. I was like, what did she buy? God.
Are we allowed to say?
Like a handful of things.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
I know. It may. Oh, you know who else? I don't want to keep outing people.
Oh, just do it.
But it's crazy. Sometimes I'll be on there and I'm like, oh my God, she bought. Like Dakota Fanning. Saw her once. Very exciting.
Oh, I think I told you. I saw her. Well, first
you know
of all.
Who else I saw? What? Melanie Griffith.
Sarah, can I speak?
Sorry, yeah.
Dakota Fanning saw her at Pilates. Mm-hmm. She said to me, big listener of the pod.
No.
Fan of the pod.
How do you not tell me that?
I did tell you this already.
Do you think Elle listens too?
Well, that's what I was going to say next. She listened to the episode where you claimed that you discovered Elle Fanning. And she
Wait,
thought
Dakota
it was really funny.
Dakota Fanning listened to the episode where I were said, you, I did, first of all, I were, never said I discovered Elle
no,
Fanning.
No, but you said, why is nobody talking about the great? I mean, Elle Fanning, she's so amazing. This show is so great. Why is nobody talking about it? And Nicholas Hoult, like, he should be a star. And I was like, you're not discovering Nicholas Hoult. He's like in a Marvel movie. And the great was nominated for Emmys 2 years ago. But you thought you discovered it. She thought that was very funny.
She really?
Yeah.
Did like, Elle think it was funny?
More in a laughing at you way, not a laughing with you way.
Shut up.
Yeah.
I'd love to be friends with those sisters.
Well, you should come to Pilates with me sometime.
I go to Pilates.
Different times than me and Dakota.
Sorry, I'm not like working out at noon like you.
Oh, so now you're dissing Dakota.
As I was saying that, I was like, wait, I don't want to diss Dakota Fanning.
Well, she's going to hear
wait,
it.
Oh my God. That's crazy. Okay, who else have I seen on the Shopify? Melanie Griffith.
That's very cool.
Got to be the Melanie Griffith. The Melanie
Can't
Griffith.
Can't imagine there's another one.
Who else have I seen? And it's like shocking when you see it.
You're Lauren Sanchez.
Yeah, but Lauren Sanchez, she is not putting her name in there.
No, it's somebody else's name, but we knew.
Yeah, well, she loves Favorite Daughter. Jen Aniston, big buyer of Favorite Daughter. Doesn't even want a discount.
Full price.
No, she doesn't want a discount.
Yeah, full price
I
buyer.
Said, let me just give you a discount. She said, I don't want your discount. I want to support.
Yeah, support a friend. Looks great and everything.
Well, she just looks so freaking good. It's crazy. Okay.
So
I
now.
Love it when we go Hollywood. We never go Hollywood. We never.
You know, it's funny you should say that because the other day, Jordan said to me, I'm flying on a plane. Give me two episodes of the podcast I should listen to. Like, what should I listen to? And I told her to listen to the Hollywood
well, time
episode.
Time out, Jordan Foster?
Yeah.
Why is she not listening
she
to all the
She just said, I haven't heard all of them. So what's like two of them I should listen to on the plane?
Okay.
So I said, Hollywood listen to episode. The Hollywood episode because it's really funny. And she wrote me and she's like, sorry, at 6 minutes and 4 seconds in, Sarah says she's never flown first class and you just went right by it. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And I went
See,
back and listened.
See, this is the shit I'm talking about. Why is that a side text to you? That should be a group. You guys talk about me behind my back. No, I'm serious. It's like, this is the problem. This is why. This is why we have issues. That should have been on. We have a group text.
Yeah, we do.
Why wasn't it on that?
I don't. She texted me and said,
what? You guys talk shit about me
no,
behind my back.
No, she texted me and said, which episodes? I wrote her. And then I said, tell me everything that you're laughing at. I want to know. I want to know every moment. She's like, okay, I'll take notes. And then she's like, well, the first thing I just experienced was Sarah saying she's never flown first class. And I was like, wait a second. And then I went and listened to it. And I was like, how did I not call you out
what
on
did
that?
I say?
I was talking about Lisa Vanderpump.
Oh, because I don't. I don't fly first class. I've never flown first class. That's true.
Sarah, that's a joke, right?
No, I've never flown
Sarah,
first class.
You're lying right now that you're trying to actually claim you've never flown first class. I've flown first class with you probably 19 times
in
my life.
No, let me explain. When
there are mm-hmm. options for first class, business class, or economy. I've never taken a first class, ever, not once.
I'm confused on what you're saying because I flew home from London with you first class.
That was a two cabin plane.
So how is that not first class?
Because that's a business class. No, I said I've never-
It's first class and okay, then coach.
When you take Air France, there is first class, there is business class, and there is economy. When you take British Airways, there is first class, business class, economy. When you go Swiss Air, there is first class, business class, economy. I've never flown first class.
Okay, are we only talking international? Because you've flown first class a lot of times in your life.
I've never flown first class international in my life.
So are we only talking international?
Well, because domestic, it's just a two cabin plane.
But that's still first class. You understand that, like,
if it's
when
a two-cabin plane, I have gone in the business, in the first, you know, in like whatever class. It is.
It is called first class.
But there are many.
It's planes, called first class.
Okay, but there are many planes I've been on where there is a first class and a business, and I've never been in the first. Never.
Okay,
once.
But when it's just first and coach, you're in first.
This is the people listening are going to understand what I'm saying.
I don't think they are.
I think they will. Allison, do you understand what I'm saying? Whatever. You know what? You guys can all suck it. I don't care. I know my truth. I know my truth.
Sarah and loves to cry. Sarah loves to cry poor.
Here's the beauty of it.
No, Allison, we flew back on here's from the London. Beauty there, of was, this. There was life flat
personal, not for business. Like if a brand's flying you first, that's different.
Brands don't fly me first. What
well, they
are you
did.
Guys
the trip
about?
That we're talking about was from London where a brand flew
when
us first.
When Rakuten flew us to New York, they did not fly us first class.
Rakuten,
they flew us business.
They didn't fly us to New York. They flew us to London and they flew us first.
Okay, you know what?
It was first and coach.
No, they didn't.
Sarah,
no,
I was in it with you with Lisa Vanderpump. It was
you
first.
Were, great. Guess what, bitch? You were in first with Lisa Vanderpump, and I wasn't. And we talked about it on the pod. So you can suck my balls.
What balls?
Suck them. Montana, why are you laughing? Montana's dying over there. Tell us why you're laughing.
What's
she can't
happening?
Breathe. What happened?
I saw you like sit up with the realization that you're the first person you did.
Wait, I actually in first and she was in business? Yeah. Wait, how'd that happen?
Go.
Wait, but why that? Why? How did that happen? Okay, I'll give you that I was.
Okay,
nobody can hear you dropping the mic, Sarah. No one can hear.
Wait, hold on.
Okay, I get it that you're dropping the mic, but here's the thing. Yes, okay, this one trip, I was first in your business, but
Aaron, just move on.
But for you to pretend like you've never flown first class is ridiculous.
I dropped my mic. That means we move on.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, well, I want the people.
Okay, the mic is dropped.
Okay, well, hold on.
That doesn't mean
you need the last word. That's just you dropping your mic. I haven't dropped my mic yet.
You don't have a mic to drop.
No, my last saying is going to be, my last question is going to be for our audience. If you believe that a two-cabin plane where you are in the front of the plane and not in the back of the plane is not considered a first class, let us know. Mic drop.
Okay.
Someone just yesterday said, Aaron, I just got a new place. What sheets should I get? And I said, well, first of all, that person said, should I get linen? Should I get satin? And I was like, ew, no, linen's itchy.
Oh, God, linen.
Satin is creepy.
Linen is fucking weird. Who wants linen
sheets?
Yeah,
I won't name names, but linen's itchy.
I'm going to need to know that person's a serial killer.
Satin is creepy because this is a guy, a single guy.
A guy wants satin? No, this.
And I said, it's Boll & Branch or nothing, babe.
Who is
Boll
this person?
Boll & Branch. Can't tell you. But it's Boll & Branch. Boll & Branch are the best 100% organic
Simon?
Cotton.
Who is it? Simon's like, I'm just looking into some silk sheets. That's unbelievable.
100% organic cotton threads for superior softness and a better night's sleep. Truly,
okay,
you guys, these
why
are the
are
best
you reading
sheets
this? It's very simple. It's organic, okay? You do not want chemicals touching your body. It's the softest, most
they're
luxurious.
The most buttery, beautiful sheets of my life.
And they're organic, guys. Good luck finding any other organic sheets
they're
on the market
so
that
fantastic.
Are this soft. You won't.
They have over 10,000 stellar reviews. I mean, one of them is for me, honestly. But they're beloved by 3 U.S. presidents. I think it's a funny
That's
trivia.
That's a funny trivia.
Because for me, I'm like, which presidents? You know what I mean?
Oh, right. Like for you, if it's like a certain one, you're...
Then I'm like, I don't want to sleep on those sheets. Okay. But I think it's some of the good ones. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, they're amazing. The proof is in the pudding. I sleep on them. Sarah sleeps on them. They're in every room of both of our houses. It's what I gift to people. It's what I recommend to people. That's it. You immediately feel the difference. Their iconic signature sheets are my
George
favorite.
I bet George W. is one of them.
Yeah, he feels like he would be.
He feels like he's sleeping in the Boll & Branch. He feels like he likes organic.
I think that could be true. They are 100% free from any toxins, meaning no pesticides, no formaldehyde, and no other harsh chemicals that you'd be surprised how much those are on your other sheets. So you missed the Boll & Branch April sale? Well, our listeners get exclusive access to a post-sale 20% site-wide discount. Usually our discount is 15%. Now it's 20.
This is a bigger one. The 20 is big.
20% site-wide discount through the end of April with the promo code FOSTER15 at BollandBranch.com.
Okay, guys. April's almost over.
I'm in the middle of it. B-O-L-L and branch.com. Promo code FOSTER15 for 20% off till the end of April. Okay, I got to give this discount to my friend.
No, but there's like, by the time you're hearing this, there will only be a couple more days. So you got to like use it quickly.
Yeah, get on it.
Write it down. Use it.
Good Mother's Day gift. Okay, next up, Sarah, I don't even know how to talk about this. Sarah owns the company. Sarah's personally benefiting off of this.
She's Now people are tagging me in their Athletic Greens. They're tagging me.
They tag me too.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, I got tagged.
Oh, okay.
People are really into Athletic Greens.
It's very simple. We're all pretty much depleted. Like, let's just be honest.
You have very depleted energy.
Well, today I'm like really depleted. By the way, didn't do my Athletic Greens this morning. Nope, didn't do anything this morning.
Sarah,
I was so tired.
Zero pep in your step.
I just downed my black coffee. That's all I did.
Oh,
Athletic
no.
Greens, it is one scoop of 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients. It is a multivitamin, a multimineral, your probiotic, your green superfood, all of it in one scoop, okay? This is like taking away so many long, labor-intensive, time-intensive steps of getting all your vitamins in one scoop, and you are done.
And the best part for Sarah Foster is that there's a connection with vitamin D, her lifelong passion. Mm-hmm. So to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you an immune-supporting, free, one-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you go to athleticgreens.com/foster today. So again, simply visit athleticgreens.com/foster to take control of your health. And
you know what I'm also seeing, which I don't think we've talked to our customers about? There are adaptogens and antioxidants.
I love adaptogens.
Your Athletic Greens. I won't bore you with the details,
please,
but adaptogens are very important. They reduce stress, better sleep quality, potentially like some sex drive stuff,
okay,
physical, mental fatigue, all of that.
Wrap it up.
Okay, I'm just saying. Google adaptogens. It's in this.
Okay.
Okay, let's do questions. All right, I have not looked at these. This is like, I'm reading these with you guys, with the audience. Okay. Hi, love the pod. Thank you. I struggle with feeling like I need to be in control with what happens in my life, but I often get reminded that that is not the case. Do you guys have any tips on how to maintain a healthy balance of having control and letting time work things out, or accepting that some things happen that you just cannot control? Also, I'm 18
oh
and can
God.
Say you guys do an amazing job at capturing the attention and being relatable to younger audience. What's the old saying here? What does God do? Like, God's like laughing while you're making plans, or like there's a big like
when
profound.
When you make plans, God laughs.
No, it's not when you make plans, God laughs. That's not profound at all.
That is what it is. When you make plans, God laughs.
No, give me a good, give that me a what, good that's what analogy or a metaphor
Montana,
for this.
Montana, look it up. Oh, that's the same thing
God
I said.
God laughs. Okay, that's not profound at all.
Literally the same
that's
thing
like
I said.
That is not profound.
Well, you understand the idea behind it.
Yeah.
As soon as you plan for the future, the universe is like
I do believe the universe. I do believe the universe has a plan for you. I do believe the universe protects you.
You have to kind of work with the universe. No, you can't just like sit around and...
No, you can't like lay on your couch and watch Vanderpump Rules all day and then expect
whoa,
for life
whoa,
to get...
Whoa, whoa, whoa. That felt like a personal attack. First of all, Selling Sunset has new episodes out. Can I continue?
Wait, sorry. I just have to say I went to this new restaurant the other night and there were 9,000 paparazzi going insane outside. I'm like, holy shit, Beyonce is here. It was a star from Selling Sunset.
No.
I literally, you guys,
Christine Quinn?
I don't know who it was. I was the person outside asking paparazzi. Like, who was that? Who was that? I was like a tourist, literally standing outside. By the way, this was also hilarious. Not to hijack this conversation, but it's our life is a scene out of Barely Famous.
Yeah, it really
when
is.
We walked into this like new really trendy restaurant. It's called Mother Wolf, whatever. And it was me and Sarah and Jen. And we wanted to take like a picture of ourselves. And these paparazzis were like, do you want me to take a picture of you guys?
Oh my God.
And I'm thinking, oh, maybe he's going to like take it with like his camera. And he put his camera down.
And grabbed your phone.
And said, well, give me your phone.
Oh my God.
It was really
honestly
funny.
Sweet of him to do that, though.
It was really sweet.
Do you anyway. Think he'll still like sue you if you post the photo?
Well, if he tries, I'll be like, fuck you. Like, you, this is, anyways. What was the point of this?
What a fall from grace, huh?
Anyways, but I was literally that person going, excuse me,
to the who is it?
Who are you taking pictures of? Aww. It was funny. Okay, let's help this lovely girl.
That's sad. Okay, so you feel a need to control what happens in your life, but
which is normal, guys.
Yeah, it's so normal. But the tips on how to maintain a healthy balance of having control and letting things work itself out is I think that you always have to ride that balance between having faith that the world is, you know, going to give you all the things that you want, but also you have to work at achieving those things too. Like you said, you can't just wait for the universe to do everything for you. But I think what you can do is you sort of roll with the things that are offered to you and handed to you and make the most out of them. So you say yes to things, you know, travel, you move to a new city, you take a job that's like a little bit intimidating because you're 18.
When you're
18, the worst
you
that can
should
happen,
be fully living outside of your comfort zone. Yeah, you shouldn't exactly. even have comfort at this point. Like you should be living as far outside of your comfort zone as possible. You should also listen to manifestation episode.
Do not listen to that episode.
Because
do not
you
listen
will
to that
learn
episode.
The earlier you can adopt a like relationship with the universe and the higher power, and the better you will be. The earlier you can start manifesting the life you want, the better. So listen to our manifestation episode. That's the
do
best
not listen to that
I
episode. Do not listen to that episode. It's a terrible episode.
Okay. How to help a friend who is depressed but really bad about talking about their feelings. Is this you that wrote in?
It's not me.
They are clearly going through a rough time, but only open up sometimes. They have withdrawn from the group of friends lately, etc.
Okay, so what I would say is that none of us can make somebody else get help that they need. None of us can make somebody else, can fix somebody else's problems. But I will say that if you know a friend is depressed, you know they're going through a hard time, don't make them talk about it, but
oh
just
my
keep,
God, I was going to say the same thing.
Keep reaching out. Keep inviting them out. Keep checking in. Keep saying, do you want to get a coffee? Keep saying, you know, we're going to this dinner. Yep. I'm sure you don't want to come, but just always know you're invited. Yep.
If you know your friend is depressed, the last thing you should be doing is giving them space. The last thing you should be doing is going, okay, well, you know what? They haven't responded. So I'm done.
Yeah.
You have to have such compassion. Depression is so real. Being in that headspace is so real. Don't ask them how they are. Don't even go
there. You can ask them how
they
are.
No, send funny memes. Send check in. Talk. Send a message about like, oh my God, you're not going to believe what happened to me today. Like sending you love, whatever. Don't put them in a position to have to feel like they have to explain their mental
state. Don't put pressure on them, but make sure that they know they always have a friend that's reaching out to them.
But I know when I'm in a bad place mentally, I avoid people who ask questions. I avoid people who just want to talk about it. I just avoid those people because I don't want to talk about it.
But you want to know that you're invited.
Yes, but the people I go towards are the people who are just showing up. Who are just showing up and making me feel safe, but aren't putting me in a position where I have to give them answers.
Yeah.
So.
Where am I in that category?
I mean, you're low.
Right.
Oh, what did your mom do right and wrong when you were dating guys she knew were no good? Any advice for moms out there? Oh my God.
It's so funny because our mom is really, really, really nice and friendly. And I'm telling you, almost every guy I introduced her to, with the exception of like one or two, she made it very clear very quickly she did not like them.
Our and mom's
she
was a very judgmental person.
She just would be like, nope, not for me. She always was like, I just don't see this person for you. She would make it very, very, very clear. I think it's
so weird because I like dated a drug addict for 4 years.
She loved
she,
him.
Like never said anything.
Yeah. I don't think she was as invested in your happiness as she was with mine.
Maybe not.
But I think that I will say this. Our mom always instilled in us having really clear boundaries. Like she has good boundaries herself. She's very good at like saying to someone, that doesn't work for me. I don't like that.
Yeah.
And she always pushed us to be the same way. And our mom she also kind of instilled in us this idea that it's okay to be romantic and like take care of a guy and like dote on a man. Like she wasn't the mom that was like, you know, trying to get us to be bitchy or play games or like win. She wanted us to be vulnerable and like soft. It was hard for us to be like that.
I didn't get that memo, but yeah.
To be vulnerable?
No, I was never vulnerable in relationships.
No, but that's what she would wanted to instill in us. Like that's what we saw by example from her.
I know for me with my girls, I'm trying like really hard to establish like a baseline of we are friends. Now, granted, of course, you're not
pretty sure that's like parenting 101. You're not supposed to be your kid's friend.
Okay, that's why I needed to add on. I've already established I am the boss. You need to fear me.
Another language that I don't think is really appropriate for parenting.
Okay.
I'm their friend and I'm their boss and they have to be afraid of me.
Okay.
Sounds like a very, very toxic relationship with a mother.
So you're like calling child services today, basically.
Yeah. I knew that they were in danger.
They already know that I am the parent. I am the boss. They have to act accordingly. They have to be respectful. They're not allowed to do this. They're not allowed to do that. They already know that. But now that we've already established that, I really am working, especially with V, who's a prepubescent. She's going into sixth grade.
Oh my God, if she hears you say that, she'll die.
I know. Well, she doesn't listen to the podcast. I'm really trying to like relate to her in ways where anytime she talks to me about like a boy or a situation, I try to relate it to something that I went through. And I'm finding that it's really been helpful for our relationship. So if she's like, I'm just like, I'm so upset. Like the boy I like, he likes someone else and blah, blah, blah. I like go, oh my gosh, V, when I was in blah, blah, blah grade, this guy, because you can always find ways to relate it back mm-hmm. to yourself. Mm-hmm. And it really has helped our relationship doing that.
That's good.
But
the question here is—
okay, I guess that's unrelated.
What did your mom do right and wrong when you were dating guys that weren't good? That's a tough one.
Listen, I think if your kid is dating someone you just don't like because she's just not what you thought you wanted for your daughter, then get over it because that's just really none of your business. Yeah. If he's a bad guy and if he's doing bad things and he's potentially really not good for your daughter, then you have every right to step in. I think there's just different levels.
There are different levels and also depends on your kid's age. But I really do believe that the tough thing about parenting is that you have this period of time when they're young to instill all of the
values.
Yeah,
and you just hope they make the right decisions.
And you have to hope they make the right decisions because once they start making decisions for themselves, it's really not your life to live anymore.
So Valentina was obsessed with this little boy, okay? She had the biggest crush on him. He was like the coolest kid in school. And one day he got physical with her. He threw her down on the ground. At school. And he did it because they were roughhousing, like they were playing on the field. And I think he knew she had a crush on him. And I don't know what happened, but he pushed her down on the ground. And I don't think he realized how hard, because he's a boy, like he's a big, you know, and she's mm-hmm. like a little girl. And I don't think he meant to hurt her because he was very upset that he did it. But Valentina came home and she goes, one of the saddest parts of the whole thing is that I don't have a crush on him anymore. I can't have a crush on him anymore because I could never have a crush on someone who would hurt me. And in that moment, I thought, my job is done. Mm-hmm. Like, I clearly—
It's a little dramatic, but I hear you.
Well, no, what do you mean? She was like, how could I ever have a crush on a boy who would do that to me? Like, I can't, and I don't. And I've had a crush on him for 2 years, and now I don't because I can't.
Interesting.
So I don't know. Like, I think that's like, clearly I did something right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just give me a little bit of, you know— credit as a parent. You seldom credit my parenting. And I have two great kids.
That's true. You do have two great kids.
Okay, let's do this one. Someone who resonates with you.
Oh.
Hi, I love your podcast. Thank you. You are my soundtrack when I'm getting ready in the morning. I really resonate with Erin and her fertility journey. My partner and I are also trying to conceive, and the information, steps, tests can be very overwhelming. I want to keep enjoying my life in other ways and making the most out of it, but it can be hard when we're so focused on this one thing. How have you been able to keep your own good things while also thinking about and trying for a baby? I feel like this is something we would need to build as a practice so you can still have your own things going as a mom. Any advice? That's a great question, and you can probably be really helpful to her.
Yeah, I think that it's
I just want to say you do a very good job of like maintaining your happiness.
Thank you. I think that it's a choice you have to make, that you cannot only focus on the one thing that you don't have, and you have to keep reminding yourself of how, because life is great without kids. Let's be really clear. Life is amazing without kids.
Yeah.
And so you really have to lean into how happy you are with your partner, how happy you are with your friends, how happy you are in your life. And last week, or 2 weeks ago, my acupuncturist who we had on here, Danica, she gave Simon and I homework to make a list of the 10 things that we love about our life without kids, mm-hmm. to remind ourselves to focus on what we have. And this list was amazing. We got to the end of this list and we were like, do we want to have kids? This is an amazing list. It was like sleeping on the weekends, spending Sundays, you know, post-mating food in bed and watching movies. And like, we do have a great life. So it's just a choice that you can either obsess over. It's just like being single. And when I was single, I was like, okay, some days I'm obsessing over the fact that I'm alone and I haven't found my person. But most of the times I was learning to love being with my nieces and nephews, love being with my family, love being with my friends, love being alone, love reading, love having space in the morning where you can like make your coffee and sit in a breakfast nook and like go on the internet without being judged by somebody. Mm-hmm. There are so many things to love about your life in its current form. And you have to just choose to do that because you just don't know what's going to happen in your life. And if you look back, like the way that we look back and we didn't enjoy our lives when we were single and young and in our 20s, we didn't appreciate the things that we had.
Such a waste.
It's the exact same thing that's happening now. I know that one day we're going to look back and be like, why didn't we enjoy the time that we had together? And so it's just a unique opportunity. And I think like if you have a great life and that's the one thing that you don't have, then it should be easy to focus on it. And you'll get distracted. You'll have moments where you're like, fuck, it's hard that that person's having a baby. Fuck, it's hard that my friend's pregnant. Fuck, it's hard that I just got my period again. But you let yourself feel bad about it. Mm-hmm. And then you just kind of move forward. Mm-hmm. I get my period and I'm like, this is shitty. And then an hour later, I'm back on the horse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Should we do a
rapid fire?
Oh my God, but there's so many other good questions. Oh, I just want to say, I have this one. This will be really fast.
Okay.
Hi, Erin and Sarah. My boyfriend and I are speaking about getting engaged in the near future. I'm not at all fussy on the ring, but have a general idea of what I like. The question is, do I drop hints, tell him what I like, or just let it happen and trust he has good taste? I am torn.
You drop hints, you tell your best friend, whoever he's going to ask, what you like.
Exactly.
That's what you do.
You tell your best friend
exactly what you like.
Exactly.
And then you make sure
what
that
you, like.
You make sure you tell her to tell him whenever you're ready. I know what she likes.
But I also think this is tough because, you know, engagement rings are really expensive. And I don't know if like everyone is aware of how expensive they are, but you also don't want to make your future husband or wife feel bad that maybe you can't give them their dream ring. So I think like
I was sending Simon directly rings that I liked before we got engaged and I didn't know our potential because they were way smaller than the one that he got me.
It's so funny. I know this couple where you always think like the last thing you should do is drop hints. But I know this girl that has been sending photos of engagement rings to her boyfriend for like years and like they're still together.
Really?
Sometimes you gotta just like ask for what you want. Oh, you know, and like put yourself out there. I won't say. I respect it. So I think you tell your best friend, but like, yeah, I think you tell your best friend. I think that's exactly what you do. And then she says to him, like, hey, if you ever need help, like,
When
you're ready, I know what she likes.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to try something new. We're going to start doing rapid fires at the end. First question. What was your most recent fight? Who won and why?
Oh, Lord.
What was our most recent fight?
This is not going to be rapid.
I know. But do you remember what it was?
God. Shocking that you don't.
Oh, yeah. First class
fight.
We
really
just had
fight.
One.
That's not a fight.
What was our most recent fight? I think we like hung up on each other recently.
Montana probably remembers. Montana.
Oh, the video. Oh,
I knew you'd remember.
The video that we were trying to make, the skincare video.
That was like a month ago.
Yeah, you stormed out of my house.
We haven't fought in a month.
I don't know.
Montana, what was our last fight?
I think that was the last big one.
Montana's like,
that's the last one where there was blood. But, you know.
Sarah and I were trying to film a video for, well, actually we posted that we got into a fight. We were trying to do a video.
Yeah, that's the video where I was like, oh, you're just like a full-blown fucking psycho.
You were crazy.
No, you're like psychotic.
You stormed out of my house. No, I never lost my cool once. I stayed calm the entire time.
Because you're a sociopath. I don't know. You are literally, I walked out of there going, oh, she's batshit.
That's funny. I felt the exact same way.
I literally walked out going, I have a sister who is bipolar, schizophrenic, batshit crazy.
When you left the house, I thought Sarah is going through really something dark. Like she really is in a dark place and I don't know how to save her.
It's so, you know what? First thing we've ever agreed on.
Wow.
That we like aligned.
I don't think we're aligned because you thought that I was crazy and I thought you were crazy.
Yeah. No, but crazy isn't even the word.
No, you really.
Almost called Simon to be like, bro, I care about you so much. You got to go. You got to go. Save yourself. Save yourself so you can be happy.
I was worried about you.
I was so
very
worried about
worried
you.
Worried about you.
I was so.
There's no world where you could justify that, by the way.
I know, but look, here's the bright side. You've taken matters into your own hands.
Oh, Sarah, I knew you were going to do this. You're saying that I went on medication.
Well,
Sarah, I knew you were going to do this, that you were going to use me being on Zoloft against me. And no, that's very dark.
You. That's not against you.
That is a very dark thing to do.
I'm complimenting you.
No.
I'm
that's a very dark thing because you're trying
you're
to claim.
You're very even. I'm just
you're trying
saying.
To claim that what happened that day needed to be rectified by me getting on medication as opposed to you needing to be
you
on
are
medication.
The culprit. You are the culprit.
Sarah, that's not even possible. You can think that. Like,
let's ask Montana.
That you always want to put her in the middle. That's so fucked up. You can't do that to people.
Okay. Well,
putting people in the middle. Montana. You love to put people on the spot.
This is not rapid fire.
It's all you.
Okay. Holy Grail Desert Island skincare product.
Chapstick.
What?
I'm obsessed.
You're just like fine to get like wrinkles and sun damage, but as long as your lips aren't chapped?
Yeah, like I'm not thinking about wrinkles. I'm thinking about my sanity. I can't have chapped lips. I hate that feeling.
Okay, I guess I'd say retinol.
Oh my God. You want to look good on the desert island?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Oh, I guess I should say sunscreen. Can I have two things?
No, you can only have one.
Okay, sunscreen.
Well, I guess I
chapstick.
Might just...
Chapstick? Well, I mean, what a weirdo.
Maybe instead of chapstick, I would just say moisturizer. I hate feeling dry. What's one thing on your bucket list?
I want to go to Africa.
Yeah, I want to go to Africa too.
I really want to go to Africa, but I want to go to like, I want to go on like a 3-week trip.
Yeah, me too. But let's go separately. Salty or sweet?
Oh, salty. Oh, sweet.
Salty for sure.
Okay. What meal do you cook the best?
For me, it's pasta.
For me, it's tacos. I make amazing tacos.
It's pretty easy to make.
Okay. I make lasagna. I make great lasagna. I haven't made it in years, but I mean, it's really good.
I've literally never had lasagna from you.
Yeah, it's really good.
What's one another's greatest strength? Mm. Oh, God, we have to compliment each other.
Your greatest strength is writing.
That's not a strength. It's a talent, bitch.
Okay. Your greatest strength is being domestic.
Well, yours is living in denial.
Oh, wait. I know. You're like a subservient wife. I literally said, Aaron was supposed to come to the sister dinner. We had a sister dinner the other night. And literally the people, they were like, where is Aaron? I was like, oh, well, apparently it's 1952. And she like didn't tell her husband she had plans. So she like had to be with her husband on Friday night.
That's not at all what happened.
Okay, whatever.
We invited people over to our house.
It was fine. But
you can't say you don't care when you're accusing me of something that's not true.
Okay, well, that's your greatest strength.
Okay, well, yours is living in so much denial about your life that you just keep
that's
moving
not
forward.
A strength. What are you, Aaron? I just gave you a fucking compliment.
No, you didn't. You said that I was a subservient wife.
But that's a compliment. No. That's what you want to be.
What?
No, but you're doing that on. That's what you want to be. You're
Sarah,
like domestic. Sarah. You like make the water and you.
What?
You cook. And you like
I don't make
you literally
water.
Bone every time he wants to. You
oh,
never say no.
My God,
but that was what you strive to be.
No, I strive to be a domesticated, subservient
also,
wife.
Yeah, but also have all your other things. That's what you want. I swear, I started this out as a compliment. You're making it negative, but it was a compliment.
Okay, let's move
so
on.
Give me one now.
Nope, yours is still living in so much
no,
denial.
No, because you can't. That's not a compliment.
Yours to me is not a compliment either.
You suck at this.
Oh my God.
Okay.
Star signs, and does that represent you?
I don't
you?
Know. I'm an Aquarius, and I don't know anything about that.
Aquariuses are pretty full of themselves, I think. And they're known to be very vain.
Okay. I don't know anything about Aquarius. What are you? I don't even know what sign you are. Libra?
That's sweet. A Libra? No, I'm a Virgo and a Leo.
Also don't know much about those.
A Virgo, Virgos are, I am very Virgo. Virgos are like really anal about things and like really like obsessive.
Someone
and
tell
nitpicky.
Me what's an Aquarius trait. Montana?
I'm pretty sure it's being vain.
Shut up.
Advanced, self-reliant, clever, exceptional, optimist.
Exceptional, advanced, self-reliant. By the way, I'm a total Aquarius.
Can you read the negatives, not just the positives? Okay, we know
okay,
you're not
well,
Aquarius.
That's Virgo,
humble?
Bitch. That's Virgo.
Oh, that's me. So what am I again?
You're humble,
self-effacing.
Okay.
This is me. This is me.
Humble.
I am humble.
Humble. Well, I'm a 10.
Sarah, you can't just pluck random things out of history.
Okay, you called yourself a 10.
Okay.
This isn't going
these
well.
Are not
rapid
going
fire
well.
Is not going
rapid
well
fire
for
is
us.
Not good for us.
Okay, best fitness advice. Well, Aaron, you can skip her. Let's just go
well,
to me.
Oh, well, maybe we'll get fitness advice from Sarah, who last night was eating birthday cake, and someone said, oh, you're eating birthday cake? And she looked at me and goes, yeah, I can eat whatever I want. I can eat whatever I want. It doesn't matter on my body. That's what you said.
I don't believe in diets. I believe in indulging and enjoying your life. And
it's easy to believe in indulging when you have a size 12 waist.
I'll tell you what the best fitness advice is. Just do it. Every time.
You've got real Kim Kardashian energy right now.
No. Here's the deal. It's really hard because to get into fitness, you're like, well, what is like going on one walk going to even do? What is going to the gym just once going to do? What is like going on that one hike? It's like not going to do anything. So it's just so hard to start. You just have to start because every time actually does make a difference. You just have to get in a routine to where it's just part of your routine. Like there are no shortcuts. You have to work out. You have to get your heart rate up. I'm a firm believer in weights. I think lifting weights, there's so many of these like fad workouts. I think lifting weights is very, very, very important. And you just have to start. You have to find a way to make it just part of your life. What's your advice?
I mean, I'm like a bare minimum kind of workout person. So I just think that you have to like do a workout that is going to get you up and actually get you there. For me right now with Pilates, I cannot, I don't have the motivation to get up and go to the gym, like to do a high intense workout, but I have the motivation to go to Pilates. So that's what I choose to do because it's the only thing that gets me moving.
Right. Got it.
Okay. Best procrastination advice.
I am the world's biggest procrastinator. So I think it would actually be irresponsible for you to give advice. Although one thing that has helped is I look at my schedule. Josh told me this. He said, you need to look at your schedule the night before and you need to like fully wrap your head around what your day is going to look like. Mm-hmm. Like work on it the night before. Map out the agenda, all the... Oh my God. Is that like roof caving in? What happened?
I just dropped a pen.
Oh. And like map out the night before all the things emotionally, mentally, physically, tasks, work, all the shit you have to do the night before. And that has helped.
That's good advice. My advice is just make lists. I love to make a list as small, the smallest thing that you have to do.
And you love to cross it off.
I love crossing things off the list. So I love making a list and it can have like big stuff and small stuff. And you can kind of go through and start with small stuff so that you mark things off the list. Song that you are hooked on at the moment.
I am obsessed. I've discovered this artist and I think I have discovered him. Okay. This isn't like an Elle Fanning situation. Tell me if I've discovered him, if you've heard of him. His name is Dermot Kennedy. Have you heard of him?
It sounds familiar, like I know a song that he has.
Okay. He is going to be the next like Ed Sheeran, Louis Capaldi. Let me just give you a little jingle.
Okay. Song that I'm hooked on right now. I'm obsessed with this song called Ghost Town.
Oh, yeah. Duh. By Boone or whatever. Yeah. He's amazing. Like,
okay. Well, I didn't say I discovered someone. I'm just saying what song I'm hooked on. Oh yeah, Sarah, this is crazy. You think you discovered? I've heard. Tell me this is what I'm gonna. Yeah,
you've heard this song.
Yeah, you think I don't know this song? Everyone knows this song. Tell me this is
all for nothing. I can only tell you one thing. On the nights you feel outnumbered, maybe I'll be out there somewhere. I see everything you can't be. I see the beauty that you can't see. On the nights you feel outnumbered, maybe I'll be out there somewhere.
Do you know the rap? No? You don't know the rap?
Love this guy so much.
Great song.
By the way, have you heard this song? Dancing Under the Red Skies. No, you don't understand.
Right now.
Every song in this album, you just like die to.
Okay. Love that you thought you discovered that person.
Without Fear, amazing song.
Don't know this one. Don't know this one.
It's so good. I don't think you can play music on podcasts, but that is who I'm obsessed with. And I can't believe you've heard of him. Unbelievable.
You definitely didn't discover him.
How did you find him?
My Spotify. Okay, favorite season and why? I love fall. Love fall. I love wearing sweaters. I love wearing hats.
I love wearing
boots. Boots.
I honestly, not a summer person. Everyone gets so excited about the summer and like summer shorts. And like, I don't wear shorts. I have pasty skin. I don't do well like in salty air. I don't like sand. I'm not a summer person.
Agree.
Give me a turtleneck and a scarf and a hot cup of fucking.
Best first date ideas. Don't go to a movie. You can't talk to someone on a movie.
Yeah, movie's a weird first date situation. I don't know. I feel like first date is like find a restaurant that is like intimate and like kind of mood lighting.
Yeah, I agree.
There's something about being in like a bright setting where I just think you're more self-conscious. Mm-hmm. I think that's why they say like, it's really great getting to know somebody like on those shows where you're like blindfolded or you can't see each other because mm-hmm. there's just no, you've lifted any kind of like
inhibitions.
So I think find like a moody kind of like darkish place. Is that bad advice?
No, I agree. I think that's good.
I think that your surroundings are very important.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay,
that's it.
Honestly, this episode kind of sucks.
No, but we always say that.
I know, but like this one really does suck.
I know.
I think we had some edge.
No, I think we had some lulls. Okay, guys, thanks for sticking through this with us. Much appreciated.
How many people are still here?
We don't know.
Oh, you know what? We haven't asked the audience in a while, like, what guests that they would like to. Because, guys, get good news. People, we have, like, a lot of incoming calls about the podcast.
What does that mean?
Like, people are asking to be on it. So we have more power to get people. So if there's somebody you want to hear from, like, we could potentially reach out to them and they might do it because the podcast is growing. It's growing and it's, dare I say, successful.
Whoa.
Maybe I have an ego too, turns out.
Yeah, we all knew that actually.
Okay, so who do you want to hear from? What topics do you want to hear? Please follow we're going to work on making our social a little better. Our social sucks. It's so boring.
Okay. My head's somewhere else now.
Oh, you've moved on. You're on Instagram.
No, I'm not on Instagram. On email. I'm trying to find something for our new house.
Okay. Aaron's done. So I guess that means we're done. I could also do upcoming podcast episode with Jen. Let me know.
What do you mean?
And it was great to see y'all. See you next time.
Okay, bye, guys.
Have a great day. Bye.
Bye.
If you like this podcast, leave a rating and review.
This podcast is executive produced by...
Can you not use that voice?
I'm sorry, I'm trying to sound...
Yeah, but you don't need to make it sexy.
This podcast is executive produced by...
Do you have a normal voice?
Yeah. Aaron Foster, Sarah Foster, and Allison Bresnick.
Okay, I'll take over. Our associate producer is Montana McBierney. Our audio engineer is Josh Windisch. This show is hosted by Simplecast.
See, that didn't sound nice.
That sounded great.